You are listening to This is Stockton, part of the Destination Marketing Podcast Network.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to This is Stockton. I'm your host, Wes Ray.
And I'm your host, Amy Alpers.
And we're talking baseball today, Amy.
Take me out to the ball game. I know, how exciting. I'm excited. I love baseball. It is one of those sports where I mostly enjoy it in person. Like, I've tried to watch baseball on TV and I'm always like, oh man, like this is it's kind of a slog, but I don't think there's anything better than drinking an $18 beer in a baseball. It's the only time I want to spend $18 on a beer because it's outside and it's all nice and sunny and whatnot. So lucky for us, we have a minor league baseball team in Stockton, so we can do that.
And we have all season long. Ever. I mean, I was, you know, I don't know if you spent a lot of time at Billy Hebert Field, but, you know, my Stockton Ports memories go, my grandparents had season tickets at Billy Hebert Field, and we were a Brewers affiliate way back when. So I spent a lot of time running all around that ballpark as a young child, just having a blast. And then, of course, we've been going to the downtown ballpark, my family, since they opened, which has got to be, gosh, 16, 17 years ago.
That's
now.
That's what I was trying to think when they opened. Because I don't know if I remember Billy Hebert, but I'm sure we went before they moved downtown. But regardless, yeah. Wes, I was on a cruise a couple months ago and I was wearing a Stockton Ports hat and I love the one with like the sailor on it that's holding the piece of asparagus. And some lady on my Mexico cruise was like, oh, you're a Stockton Ports fan? I was like, this is amazing.
I know,
she was
right?
Also from Stockton. And then I saw her husband later on the cruise also wearing a Ports hat. So there you go.
That's awesome. Well, I too, like you, love to just sit out there. And I mean, it's first of all, a beautiful ballpark, right? You sit there in your seats, you get to see the downtown skyline. We're located on the waterfront. You get the Delta breezes in the evening. You see the arena right there. And to your point, great food, cold beer, or beverage of your choice, I suppose. But no, damn. I love it. I mean, there's a lot of games. I mean, God, 90 games or so, you know.
That's right.
So it's definitely a fun family time. So I'm very excited about our guest today.
Yes, that's right. So with us today is Jordan Fennick. He is the general manager of the Stockton Ports. And like Wes mentioned, the Ports have an affiliate now. It is the Oakland Athletics. It's been that since 2005. And the Ports have been around since 1941, but their prior affiliations. So anyways, welcome to the show, Jordan. Thank you for taking some time to talk with us. And before we get all in about the Ports and their season and everything that's happening, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself and your Stockton story?
Great. Amy, Wes, great to see you. Thank you for having me on here. I appreciate it, and I'm always happy to chat. I was born and raised in Stockton. My family's from this town as well. My dad moved out from New York and met my mom, who also grew up here. And my grandmother, grandfather actually used to own Simon's Market on Madison Street. So awesome. Definitely have a big history in Stockton, and grew up here with everyone knowing who my family was, which meant everyone knew me. So hard to be a rebellious teen when everyone knows mom and dad, that's for sure. Went to Annunciation for middle school, graduated from St. Mary's High School in 2016. And unlike most people who I think wanted to get out of town for college, I've just always loved this city and loved being a part of it. So I studied for 4 years of undergrad at University of the Pacific and graduated in 2020 before taking a job and sticking around in Stockton even longer. So this town hasn't gotten rid of me yet. And if all goes well, I don't think it will.
No, I love to hear it. Because a lot of the people we talk to on this podcast who are running things in Stockton now or owning small businesses, they grew up in Stockton, left for a while, and then came back. So it's kind of exciting to talk to someone who was like stuck to it the whole time. So we appreciate you sticking around and making things happen.
Hey, it's a great place to be. I'm happy to be a part of the city.
So was sports in your path when you were going to the University of Pacific?
Yeah, it was. I bounced around college degrees a little bit, didn't really know what I wanted to do, but finally found my passion and then left it actually and decided to come back to it. So fun fact about me, I changed my major 4 times in college.
Yep, sounds about right. I did so something similar.
I averaged a major per year, but two of them were the same. I studied sport management my sophomore year, left for a brief hiatus, and then came back by my senior year, and that's the degree I graduated with.
So how did you get your current role that you have at the Stockton Ports?
Luckily, through UOP, I got connected. You know, I'd always known of the Stockton Ports, obviously growing up in town, coming to games, and loved being here and loved the atmosphere. And I was in a sport marketing and promotions class my senior year at UOP, and we actually had the opportunity to present a marketing plan and a theme night slash promotional plan to the Stockton Ports for that class. And they picked a winning group, and the winning group got to come out to a game, throw a first pitch, and have a sweet humble brag. My group won, so shout out to my group there. But
how was your first pitch?
Well, it was the 2020 season, so the COVID canceled it, and I wasn't able to redeem it.
And, God, you know, I feel like everyone gets so nervous when they have to do those, and you like watch a celebrity do the first pitch. You're like, oh God, don't beef it. Yeah.
No, we make sure to let people practice. It's a nerve wracking thing. But yeah, so I walked up to the general manager at the time and just said, hey, I'm in need of an internship in order to graduate, and I would love to have it here. And luckily I got hired on. They kept me full time during the pandemic, which was great. And then the rest is kind of history. I came back full time as a community relations manager for the 2021 season. Then I started selling corporate partnerships 2022. And then by the start of the 2022 season, I had been promoted to director of business development, and then made it through the season. And here I am now, October of 2022, heading into this season, I officially got the promotion to general manager.
It's so awesome.
One thing about local minor league baseball, and I guess a lot of minor league sports, is that there's a lot of opportunity for promotion. And I've seen this in other cities too, because a lot of folks move from city to city because they want new roles. And if you stick to it, I've seen a lot of folks in Jordan's current role work up from, like you said, from, you know, from an intern all the way to general manager in like 2.5 years. That's pretty awesome.
Absolutely. Yeah. Thank you.
It is awesome. Well, and so cool too. Like, I don't know. It's so cool to see the university being able to make those connections too, because that's a hard thing, right? Like, a lot of people go to school for 4 years and then they immediately leave the college town they're in there. It's like, oh man, like stick around for a while and use those connections you made while you were in school and see what can happen. So that's pretty sick, my guy. I like it a lot. So for those of us who are not as baseball savvy, myself included, what does the general manager of a minor league baseball team do? Are you the coach, Jordan? I don't know. I'm just kidding. I know you're not the coach, but.
That's a really good question. And, you know, I think it's great that we talk about it, because a lot of people do kind of think differently of it, right? When you hear general manager of a professional baseball team or a professional sports team, you automatically assume making contracts, making player personnel decisions. And in minor league baseball, it's actually quite the opposite. So we have a really good relationship with all of our professional affiliates, and they handle all of the players. They make the coaching decisions, the playing decisions, who gets called up, who gets sent down. However, my role is basically handling all day-to-day business operations. So my job is to fill our stands with as many fans as possible, put on a great show for all of our fans in our community, and really just make sure that my crew, who I have an amazing crew, is, you know, well taken care of and following all of their goals and objectives. And that, you know, it references sales, marketing, promotions, all of our theme nights, handling finance. You know, there's a lot of stuff that I never imagined I would be doing, but I'm learning, and I'm learning on the fly, and it's been a lot of fun and definitely a little stressful at times, but it keeps me busy and keeps me entertained, that's for sure.
So you're not doing the whole Moneyball thing then? That's not you, huh?
Not yet. Maybe one day, Wes. it's a great start though, and I'm really thankful for the organization, and you know, our ownership group within Seventh Inning Stretch, that's our company, is absolutely incredible. I have great resources, great leaders, and I'm definitely learning a lot and excited to see where it takes me in the company.
No, I think that's awesome. It's like, there's that quote where it's like, not my circus, not my monkeys. It's like, literally, this is your circus and your monkeys. So you are, you're charged of making everything awesome and making a cool experience for everyone. So that's very cool. I guess your sports marketing class really paid off, because now that's like your main gig. So love it.
It did. I was just joking with my parents the other day, and they said the UOP education definitely paid off. So that's always a good thing when you hear that from your parents.
How big a team is that then? How big a team do you oversee?
During the off season, I have a staff of about 15 front office members. Once the season begins and we have all of our game day staff and we have all of our concessions workers, we, you know, generally have a full staff of about 75 to 100. And then on any given night, depending on how busy we are, we'll have anywhere from, you know, 30 to 50 people that are here working. And so I have my staff members who obviously oversee different departments and oversee some of the game day roles, but I am a direct report for all of them. So a lot of people's names to remember, a lot of people to be responsible for, but it's taught me a lot about you know, how to be a leader and how to make sure that your staff is well taken care of. Because what the biggest thing I've learned is that, you know, I have to jump into the fire with my crew, because I wouldn't leave them out to dry, right? And that's what earns their respect, and that's what makes them want to work hard and want to do best by the company.
Well, congrats on your first season of running the show. It's been going quite well, so congratulations.
I mean, you've got a ton of just, you know, shaking hands to do. I mean, you got sponsors on site, you've got long-term season ticket holders and other VIPs that you want to, you know, make sure you say hi to while you're there. So yeah, your game days are busy.
Absolutely. They very much are. A game day will usually start for me around 8:30, 9 o'clock in the morning. And then I'll be home probably around midnight or one. And then we play our schedules 6 days in a row of games. So, you know, Tuesday through Sunday, I'll be doing that.
Who likes sleep? Not me. Just kidding. Love it.
So. That's why there's coffee.
Yeah, literally.
So one of my favorite things, and you kind of alluded to it, was the promotions that you guys do throughout the year. And so I have a question. First of all, I want to know what the promotion idea was that you came up with in school that you did with the ports. But also, what are some of your favorite promotions that you've seen so far in your past seasons with the ports?
Great question. There's so many good promotions. To kick it off first, my promotion that my group came up with was the Thirsty Thursday promotion to tie in college students. We wanted to get UOP students and Delta College students way more involved with the Stockton ports. And so we came up with the promotion of having a discounted beer, having a discounted college ticket, and then providing some sort of shuttle or, you know, Uber or Lyft discount from campus to the games. So that way we could get as many UOP and Delta College students to the games. And, you know, unfortunately, like I said, the season was canceled. We all know that. But it was going to be put in play. That was kind of the deal that the ports made with us at the time, was the winning promotion would be put into play for that that upcoming season. So that was really cool to see that my name was kind of a part of something. And I guess it really comes full circle, because I made one promotion then with my group, and now I'm kind of overseeing all the promotions. So life's pretty funny. But to get into some of my favorite promotions, I'm really big on the ones that tie us to Stockton and tie us to the community. So my all-time favorite promotion will always be Asparagus Night, because of the connection that it has with the city of Stockton and with our agriculture around here. I love seeing the team wear the special asparagus jerseys. We have our asparagus mascots that go out and run around. We always do deep fried asparagus and different asparagus food items. But, you know, stuff that ties into this community and really shows why we're such a staple of Stockton, those are the ones that are really important to me. And then, you know, you have your fun ones as well. I love all of our bobblehead giveaways. I love our specialty jerseys that we wear. We do Marvel Night now, which is really cool. That's a partnership with Major League Baseball. And I'm a huge Marvel nerd. So seeing all that stuff's tons of fun.
Did you sign our petition, Jordan? Have you seen it yet online?
I absolutely sign the petition, Amy. You know
that.
Do you
sign it 18 times? I'm just kidding.
19,
actually.
How many
email addresses you got? Yeah. Oh, I love it. I love it. I love it. I was with some friends over the weekend, and they were talking about the dog day. I don't know. I don't have a dog, but they love the dog. Bring your dog.
Bark in the park?
Bark in the park. There we go. They love it. I guess my friend's dog a couple years ago accidentally jumped on the field, though. So, Carrie McNichol, if you're hearing this, be careful with that pooch.
Let's not do that this year.
Yeah, exactly. Lesson learned. So, Jordan, that said, do you have any new promotions that are coming out for 2023 that you want to share with us?
Yeah, we do have some, and it's kind of a... You know, it's kind of a big lump of promotions that we're offering this year. So we created a new mini plan that is all in all, when you look at it, it is a giant promotion all in one. And we have a 5 and 10 game option. And those have our newest and best promotional nights on there. They come with parking included and a free food voucher as well. So you'll get hot dog, chips, and a soda at all 5 or all 10 of the games. So those have our nights such as Faith and Family Night, where we're doing a Chelsea Gray bobblehead giveaway, who's also a kind of a Stockton legend. It has our Independence Day, which is always the best night of the year. Mm-hmm. And then it also has, you know, the third night, I'll leave two off for suspense, but the third night is our Marvel night, where we're doing a Marvel-themed bobblehead giveaway as well. So
yeah,
that whole plan is brand new this year, and the sales we've seen from it are absolutely incredible. We're excited to kind of pump up those 5 and 10 nights and bring our fans out and give them an all-inclusive experience. That's a lot of fun.
I love it. I love it. I love it.
One of the things that I like, Jordan, about going to the games, and I don't remember it's happened in the last couple of years, but I think pre-pandemic, is when the A's either rehab some major league players. I love to see major league guys. And I love the fact that even though we're low A, I get that, right? But our proximity to the home team does have its benefits sometimes. And one of the benefits I do like too is that getting to see Ricky Henderson come out and do some base coaching. I mean, that's obviously from my era, like a legend. Mm-hmm. He obviously is a legend. But there's been a lot of ports who have gone on to fame in the major leagues. You got Josh Donaldson, Matt Olson, Matt Chapman more recently, though some of those have left the A's organization, which I'm not very happy about. Obviously Dallas Braden, you know, and his no hitter, which is infamous to Stocktonians and the A's. So what kind of events do you have that celebrate those baseball alumni that have gone through the ports organization?
Yeah, that's one of the coolest things, you know, and I was just talking to some of my colleagues about this, is we're in a really special spot to where we can see a lot of future stars in the making, right? We being in low A, you know, right outside of rookie ball, we get those top prospects that come and need some time to develop, and they'll spend a season or two here. And it's really cool to see guys make it from the start and kind of follow their journey. And that's why every year we host a really cool alumni night. And it's always on a Saturday night with fireworks. And we reach out to as many Ports alumni as possible and invite them back and to have a night at the ballpark on us. And we bring them on the field. You know, we have them share their stories of their time with the Ports. We have them sign some autographs and take pictures with the fans. And it's really cool to see that, you know, people enjoyed their time with the Ports so much that even though they went on to play in the big leagues and to make it and become superstars, they like to come back and show support to the community where they started it all. You know, and I know Dallas Braden's a key person in that. He has never forgotten the Stockton Ports and the Stockton community. And it means a lot to us because, you know, when you're dealing with professional athletes, there's sometimes a stigma around them that once they get to a certain level, they may think they're too good to remember their roots or to remember where they came from. But I've met a lot of really cool people in the Ports organization that have made their way through the Ports, through the minor league system and into the big leagues, but still give us the support that they see fit. And that it's just really special.
Yeah, no doubt. My son has a little Ricky Henderson, not a little, he has a Ricky Henderson baseball because he's just so nice and kind. And he was up in one of the suites just hanging out, watching a game. I mean, usually he's working, but he happened to be in a suite, and you know, that's a legend there. So
absolutely.
Hopefully we'll get Ricky to come back this year. do some that, face coaching.
That would be awesome. Yeah, well, I'll see what I can make happen for you, Wes.
This made me think of something, and I can't remember if I was talking to you about this, Wes, or if it was someone else, but I know, so I, Jordan, lived in Boise for a long time, and so, and the Boise Hawks were the minor league baseball team there, and my friend mentioned to me that when she was a kid, her family, like, adopted a Boise Hawk for the season, and they, like, lived in their home, and, like, they were, like, the host parents for the baseball players. Does that happen in Stockton? Can you, like, adopt a port for the season and lodge them and stuff? Is that a thing?
Yeah, that used to be a much bigger thing pre-pandemic. We, with the new structure of Major League and Minor League Baseball, the affiliate club handles a lot more of the housing. So we don't necessarily need host families anymore. But that was a really big thing back in 2017 through 2019. And I remember when I started, this funny story, I was in community relations, right? So I was, my role was the one that handled all of the host families, but I had no idea what it was because I started in 2020 and we, you know, then the season got canceled. And so I'd never heard of this. So we're heading into the 2021 season and I'm getting call after call from people about, hey, you know, we've been host families for years. We want to get all set up. And I was just sitting there pretending like I knew exactly what they were talking about.
Host families.
that's awesome. let me circle back to you. And then I ran into my boss's office at the time and I was like, hey, can you tell me what a host family is? and they finally explained it to me. So I had a few phone calls to make that I had to explain the new situation of what was going on there.
Oh my gosh. My husband and I were talking about though. I was like, well, since we're not having kids, I was like, maybe we can adopt a port and then one of those ports will hit it big and we'll just ride their coattails for the rest of our lives and it'll be so cool. So if there's ever an opportunity, Jordan, I'm your girl.
Well, if you're cooking dinner and helping out, you can adopt me if you need to.
Yeah. That's thanks. Yeah.
What about a port front office member? Yeah. Yeah, that works, Amy.
Oh my God. I love it. Oh my gosh. Okay. So you alluded to the new promotions and we have all sorts of, we're in the season, things are hot. Where can people find more information, buy tickets, et cetera, about the Stockton Ports?
The best way to find it's going to be our website, stocktonports.com. That has everything you need, whether it be promotions, how to buy tickets, know before you go, FAQs. All the information you need is on the website. You can also call the Stockton Ports front office anytime, and any of myself or my staff members are happy to chat. You can reach us 209-644-1900. And you can follow us on social media, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Stockton Ports. We're very active on social media, and that's the fun of minor league baseball. You get to be as creative as you want and have some fun on social media and get some attention that way. So any of those options are great ways to find us. Buying tickets now is extra easy with our new ticketing system that we put into place. We have a text to buy feature that you can learn about on our website. So check us out, buy some tickets, and you know we're excited to bring people to the ballpark.
Speaking of social media, have you heard of the Savannah Bananas?
I absolutely have. I love the Savannah Bananas.
Wes, have you heard about the Savannah Bananas?
No.
Okay, you got to look them up. They like started popping off on TikTok like years ago, and they went on tour recently. They're a minor league team in Savannah and they just do like all the TikTok trends. Their whole game is just like goofy and crazy. But anyways,
they're absolutely incredible. Talk about marketing and promotions. That
amazing,
is something that, you know, they're sold out for years because of how popular they are. And
that's so wild.
It's unreal. Yeah. They're independent baseball. So they get to kind of have some more fun and make their own rules. If you hit a foul ball into the stands and a fan catches it, the batter who hits it's out. All sorts of crazy rules like that are just absolutely incredible. It's really taking the game of baseball to the next level with what they're doing. It's a lot of fun to see.
It's very funny.
So before I ask the final question of the interview, this is totally selfish, but I know you do have some new food and beverage options. I know, Tia Linda's, who's a great supporter of our Stockton Flavor Fest, is going to make their debut at the ballpark this summer, which they make amazing margaritas in a can. So if you haven't had those, but I do know there's a local downtown restaurant I think is taking over a spot at the ballpark. So any other new food stuff that we should know about?
Yeah, so we're super excited for Tia Linda's. We're excited for Edith Clark's, who's coming into the concession stand to serve their barbecue. And then David's Pizza is going to be serving out of a tent in the ballpark this year, making some wood-fired pizza, which is always a hit. He was here in 21, and then we missed out on last year, and I thought the fans were about to riot because he wasn't here last year. So bringing him back is really exciting. So lots of good Stockton options. We're excited to bring a little bit of the Stockton flavor into the ballpark.
Love it.
Well, speaking of Stockton flavor, and it doesn't have to be food, but we always ask this question of all of our guests. So where do you like to take your out-of-town guests in Stockton?
That's an easy question. Banner Island Ballpark.
Okay.
Okay. Can't be Banner Island Ballpark. Next guest.
Next. What I had in December? Really?
I had to throw that in there. I've got to market my team. That's an excellent question. There's so many good spots in Stockton to take people visiting. I always like to switch it up. I like to take people to different places. My probably favorite spot to take someone my staple that they have to try is Nena's over at the waterfront. So that, that is one of my childhood restaurants. It makes me nostalgic, and going over there, it's a place that, they have to eat if they're visiting this town.
I don't think anyone said Nena's before. I'm actually kind of surprised by
those
that.
Those tortillas, man. They right? are
that,
legendary.
That's what I'm saying. That is exactly what I'm saying.
No, that's awesome.
I just took someone to Nena's for their first time too. And it's like, he was like, I'll have a margarita. And then it's like as big as his head. He was like, oh, I didn't realize it was going to be this big. Yeah. And I'm like, well, drink it. Yeah.
With our new office location, I feel like we're going to be doing a lot of Nena's.
Well, take me with you.
Yeah. I mean, you are my son now, Jordan. So
exactly,
you'll be with me everywhere,
right?
I guess. Yeah, exactly.
I'll send over the paperwork after this and we can make it official.
Oh, my gosh. Well, thank you so much, Jordan, for joining us today. This was super insightful. We always love getting to talk to the people that are representing these organizations, these monumental organizations in town. So it's very cool to hear your Stockton story and how committed you've been to the city and how it's all turning out for you and for us. Really, we're a benefit of it being part of Stockton. So thank you very much. And everyone, be sure to go check out the Stockton Ports.
Yeah, go Ports.
Awesome. Thank you both. I appreciate it.
And now we're going to head to our friend Anthony for a Stockton pop culture moment.
Thank you, Amy. So Stockton has been a home for many athletes throughout the years. From baseball to football, combat sports to the Olympics, our port city has produced or guided past, present, and future gladiators that have made an impact in athletic competitions. Here's just a few. One of the first to change the game in their field was the legendary Amos Alonzo Stagg, who coached at the University of the Pacific and was a pioneer of college football, which the Pacific Stagg Memorial Football Plaza is named after. The Pacific was also the collegiate home of two legendary NFL coaches, Super Bowl champion, former Raiders head coach, and recent inductee into the NFL Hall of Fame, Tom Flores, was a 1958 graduate of the illustrious university, back when it was once called the College of the Pacific. About two decades later, the Pacific would produce another Super Bowl-winning legendary NFL coach, the Seattle Seahawks' own Pete Carroll. Additionally, Lodi High School football coach Greg Bishop was Stockton-born and a Pacific graduate. All three of these men were inducted into the Pacific's own Hall of Fame. The NFL's Vice President of Officiating and Fox Sports Rules Analyst Mike Pereira is Stockton-born, as is the two-time gold medalist swimmer at the 1964 Tokyo Olympics, Kathy Ferguson. Ferguson was inducted into the International Swimming Hall of Fame as an honorary swimmer in 1978. And of course, we can't talk about athletes in Stockton and not mention the great fighting spirit that is rooted in this city. Stockton is the adopted home of legendary boxer Yaki Lopez and his Fat City Boxing Club, which has provided a space for underprivileged youth to channel their energy. Two other fighters have proudly rocked their Stockton roots everywhere they go. Two brothers who dominated the octagon and created the Stockton Slap. They are, of course, former UFC fighters and MMA legends Nick and Nate Diaz. The Diaz brothers also provide a venue for training with the Nick Diaz Academy, a big part of Stockton's jiu-jitsu community that teaches adults Gracie jiu-jitsu, boxing, and wrestling, as well as classes for kids. Also, late last year, Nate was honored with the Key to the City by Mayor Kevin Lincoln. Oh, and a little fun fact. Way back when the Stockton Ports were called the Stockton Flyers, it is believed that the team and the city were the inspiration for Ernest Thayer's 1888 poem, Casey at the Bat. And that is your Stockton sports legacy.
Casey's that, so you know that little pitcher dude hat you like with the asparagus in his hand? That's supposed to sort of be like Casey. Because, you know, when I was a kid here seeing Ports games, there were some seasons where they weren't called the Stockton Ports. They were actually called the Mudville Nine.
Yep.
And that whole Casey of the Bat thing's gone back and forth. If we are the, you know, the home of that poem or not. But yeah, that's the Casey guy. Is
he's
the
Mudville Nine. Why not?
And I remember back in the Billy Hebert days when they had a Casey mascot and he'd be big chin, giant muscular dude walking around. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Yep, no. Maybe the thing I'm thinking of on my hat, I thought it was a sailor, but maybe it is.
Oh yeah. He is a sailor. You're right. You're right.
But I know I think what he you're is talking sort of about. Sailor. It's like a black and white.
Yeah. They have baseball. Him too.
It they kind of make similar. Casey look Popeye-ish too, big forearms, big build and everything. So that could be a little blend that we put in there.
I'll bring in the hat. We'll settle this. Well, thank you, Anthony. Very informative. We always appreciate our pop culture moments. And with that, we are going to roll into events. So it's springtime in Stockton, baby. So it is. We got lots going on. And the weather is not too hot. What date is that, Anthony? You're a cinephile where it's like, it's April, whatever. It's not too hot. You know what I'm talking about?
What are you talking about?
April showers being Mayflowers? No, that's not.
No,
that
never mind.
That doesn't work here.
Knows.
It doesn't work here.
It's from Miss Congeniality when they're like, oh, what's the perfect date? Never mind. Cut them from the podcast.
Jump to the sharks.
You can leave it if you want. We're rolling into events.
So we're going to talk about events. And this weekend, we have a couple events. Actually, tonight or today, all the way through Sunday, Kudos Children's Theater Company. I don't know if you're familiar with them.
This is the first time I've heard about them.
No, it's really cool. There's a small street called Lucille up in North Stockton off Davis Road. And it's been there forever because my dad lived on there when he was a kid. But it's just a little building that has a children's theater company. And they do really, really, really great shows. And so they are doing Just Keep Swimming from Finding Nemo Jr. And it's a 60-minute musical based on the 2003 Pixar film Finding Nemo, of course. Anyway, it's this weekend, Thursday, Friday, Saturday and Sunday, and they have shows out there, and they're sort of like a little black box theater, so you need to get your tickets ahead, but they really do quality performances, and it's a great place because if you need to get your kids into theater, this is the place to do it, Kudos Children's Theater. No, it's really cool.
Amy, April 25th is the perfect date. Not too hot, not too cold. All you need is a light jacket.
Thank you. God. Hilarious. There's dozens of people listening to this podcast who will cut the reference, I promise. That said, 2 days before April 25th, April 23rd, Sunday, April 23rd, it is the Earth Day Festival here in Stockton. It is being held at Victory Park. I've heard about this festival since I've been back. I have not been to it myself, but you guys, there's all sorts of things. We got yoga in the park. We have the Edison High School Drumline Dream Performance. There's all sorts of live music that day. Their website has all sorts of information. They're going to have the Pacific Jazz Ensemble. There's an Echo Arts Village. They're going to have food vendors. There's going to be a science parade. So be sure to check it out. It starts at 10 a.m., runs until 4, and it'll be a family fun day at the park.
And if you're a car fan, head out to the Impala's Magazine Stockton Lowrider Super Show. And it'll be this Sunday out at the San Joaquin County Fairgrounds out on Airport Road, and 11 a.m. to 6 p.m. So believe it or not, 800 of the best lowriders, bombs, dubs, trucks, motorcycles, and imports on display, live music, food vendors, beer garden, all kinds of stuff, 11 to 6 this Sunday out at the San Joaquin County Fairgrounds. That's actually
super
pretty legit.
Show.
Yeah. We got a cool Impala club here in town. And like anytime there's a show, I'm just amazed at the beauty of some of these vehicles. So yeah, go check
cars?
That out. I know. That's like 800.
It's wild.
Wow. Yeah. That's
crazy. I love it. So in a totally different vein, but very much my vein, on next Saturday, April 29th, cocktails and karaoke at the Children's Museum. You got kids? Leave them at home. This is a 21 an over event, and it sounds like a blast. They say sing, dance, drink, and repeat. So you basically get to go experience the Children's Museum with cocktails and sing while you do it. So it's a $45. It's obviously a fundraiser for the museum, and it sounds amazing, and I think everyone should go. Will I be there? Probably. So again, I always give all these listeners opportunities to buy me drinks when you see me, and yet again, here's another one. So I'll see you there. To see all of the events on the city's largest events calendar, you can find it at visitstockton.org. And when you are there, you can sign up for our weekly events newsletter.
And also, lots of ports games on our calendar with our guests. And we want to thank Jordan for being with us today and talking about the ports. And again, now through September, great minor league baseball at our beautiful waterfront ballpark in downtown Stockton. So thank you again, Jordan, for sharing all of that great stuff. You'll see me out there many times this year.
That's right. And for supporting Images and Insights, be sure to follow at This Is Stockton Podcast on Instagram and check out thisisstockton.com to subscribe and share. To stay up to date with everything going on in Stockton, follow at Visit Stockton on Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, Pinterest, and YouTube. As we alluded to earlier in the show, if you have not already, please sign our petition to bring the filming of the Fantastic Four back home to Stockton, and that is fantastic4stockton.com. And also, we would really love it if you would rate and review this podcast. It's probably easiest to do on Apple Podcasts. You can also rate it on Spotify, and we would love to share that on our Instagram. Thanks, you guys, and we will talk to you next time.
Thanks for listening to This Is Stockton, part of the Destination Marketing Podcast Network. Hosted by Wes Ray, Amy Alpers, and Anthony Estes with Visit Stockton, and produced by Relic.